We're beginning here at the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara is continuing to discuss what we mentioned yesterday, which is the machloket between Rav and Shmuel, Gabe the Psak Halacha like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a Chatzer, a Gag, and a Karpaf, they're all considered to be Rishut Achat. Rav qualified that statement and said Rabbi Shimon only says that when Shaloi Irvu, when there's no Eruv, because the Mane de Batim, the Kelim, the utensils of the house are not found in the Chatzer, which would be problematic to move them to these other locations. Then Rabbi Shimon says that all these areas are considered to be a Rishut Achat. But if in Mirvu, if there is an Eruv there, we do not consider them to be Achat. On the other hand, Shmuel, and so did Rabbi Yochanan agree with Shmuel, Paskin, that Rabbi Shimon's din applies whether Irvu or Shalom Irvu. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon always believes that the Kelim in the Chatzer, and the Kelim in the Gag, and the Kelim in the Karpav can all be moved around, independent or irrespective of the fact that there are batim around the chatzer that made an eruv, and the kelim or the utensils of the batim are now in the chatzer, they'll have a separate din. The kelim from the batim cannot be moved around, but the kelim from the chatzer are allowed to be moved around. And the Gemara now says at the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet, Amale Ravina Ravashi, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say that, Pasan like Shmuel, that Rabbi Shimon's din applies both by Irvu and Shalom Irvu? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Loch Gestam Mishnah. We have a principle that Rabbi Yochanan usually paskins like a Stam Mishnah. Bitanan, and we have a Stam Mishnah that seems to support the position of Rav. Koto Sheben Shtei Chatzerot Gvasara Verochav Arba'a. If you have a wall that's between two Chatzerot, 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide, Marvim Shnaim Vem Marvim Echad. They must have independent Deruvin because they now have something that separates between them. Hayubro Shopirot. If it has fruits on the top there, Elo Lim Mikan Vochlim, Velo Lim Mikan Vochlim. Each one of the Chatzerot can climb up on top there and eat the peirot that are on top of this wall. You have a wall that is a separate reshut, and because it's a separate reshut, each one of them independently can go up there and eat. Uvajli rito lamato. As long as they don't bring it back down below. So if they don't bring it down below, then we're okay with what they're doing on top of the wall. Now, lefi Rabbi Shimon, you can move from chatzer to chatzer. If these peirot were fine on top of the wall, then they're in a chatzer, or they're outside, you should be able to move them to the chatzerot down below. Why are you not able to bring them down below? That sounds like Rav. Rav says that when you have an Eruv between the Batim and the Chatzerot, then Rabbi Shimon's din doesn't apply. Malamato, the Mato, the Batim. What does it mean that you can't take them down? It doesn't mean you can't take them down into the Chatzer. You could take those fruits from on top of the wall down into the Chatzer, because that's Rabbi Shimon. But you can't take them into the houses. So even though you have an Eruv here, and the houses are allowed to carry in from the Chatzer to the house, or the house to the Chatzer, nevertheless, these fruits that were found on top of the wall, they cannot be brought into the houses because they were outside in the chatzer and they're not part of the eruv that was made. But then that can support Rabbi Yochanan's position. What we thought in the Havamin was the mata means you can't bring them down into the chatzer. That sounds like Rav. Rav says that when you have an eruv between the batim and the chatzerot, then Rabbi Shimon's din doesn't apply. And that would make sense here. They have an eruv between the batim and the chatzerot. You have fruits on top of the wall, which is a chatzer. We don't allow you to bring them down because this chatzer that you're trying to bring them down to has an eruv with the batim. And Rabbi Shimon's din doesn't apply. That's Rav l'shitato. Makes sense in the Mishnah. But then it would be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan because now we have a Stam Mishnah that seems to support Rav. And generally Rabbi Yochanan paskins like a Stam Mishnah. The Gemara's solution is to say the mata doesn't mean literally take them down into the chatzer. That you could do. The mata means taking them down into the chatzer and then into the bayit, into the house. And by taking them into the house, that's problematic even according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan because you have rights to take them into the Chatzerot. That's the din of Rabbi Shimon. But even Rabbi Shimon agrees you can't take them into the Batim. Eruv, no Eruv. It doesn't matter. You can't take them into the Batim. V'atani Rabbi Chia, b'vach lo yezze omeid bimkomo v'ochel, v'ze omeid bimkomo v'ochel. Wait, that doesn't make so much sense to say that Lamata means take them into the houses because we have a din that's brought by Rabbi Chia that you can't stand next to the wall and take the fruits down and eat them. So that makes it sound like they're standing down below, literally down below, and taking the fruits into the chatzer. And there it says you can't do it. It's restricted. Seems to be like the din of Rav, that when you have an eruv, you can't take from chatzer to chatzer. Amalei, v'chi rabbi lo shana, Rabbi Chia minayin lo? Where did Rabbi Chia get this din, or where did Rabbi Chia come up with this idea that they were standing down below? Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia is the Mesader of the Braitot. So when we have a Braita that says something that we don't find it in Mishnah, but there's someone suspect about that, because where did Rabbi Chia learn it from? Rabbi Chia, a Talmud of Rabbi, and now he has a Braita, and all of a sudden we have this qualification or something about the Mishnah we never heard before. So what the answer of the Gemara is if Rabbi Chia was a Talmud of Rabbi, and Rabbi never mentioned anything like that in the Mishnah, it's obvious that this Braita is wrong, and it's misquoting Rabbi Chia in this Braita. is a very difficult answer of the Gemara, because here it's not that the Braita disagrees with the Mishnah, it's just a qualification or a definition of the word the Mato. And because it's defining the word the Mato, what you're going to say that, oh, he didn't hear it from Rabbi, then it's not obvious in the Mishnah, therefore it can't be in a Braita, that's a lot harder. But the Gemara is trying to get Rabbi Yochanan out of this problem, which is by saying this Braita is obviously not a verified Braita, it's not a good Braita, because here we're quoting something from Rabbi Chiya that we never heard from Rabbi, or we never saw in the Mishnah. If that's the case, then this is likely to be wrong, and the word Lamato in the Mishnah remains undefined, and we're going to define it as Lamato mean going into the houses and not standing on either side and taking the fruit down. Itmar, shtei chatzerot v'churva achat b'nehem. If you have two chatzerot, two areas to the side that are chatzerot, that have houses opening into them, and in between them you have a churva achat, you have a destroyed house in that middle area. Achat irva v'achat lo irva. One of the chatzerot made an eruv with all the houses there. The other one did not. We give the churva to the one that didn't make an eruv, because the one who didn't make an eruv, their chatzer remains mutar to carry around those kelim in the chatzer, like Rabbi Shimon, and those kelim from the chatzer can move to the churva, because that's another area that is like a chatzer, a karpaf, a gag, and they can move freely between them. But to the one that you have the eruv, they don't grant it, because they can't move back and forth. Again, this sounds like Rav, this din sounds like Rav, which is that when you have an eruv, then the chatzer loses its status as being a reshut achat with these other areas. But when it doesn't make an eruv, then it keeps its status to be reshut achat, like Rabbi Shimon says. And that's Rav Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. We have two chatzerot that are adjacent to this churva. We want to know what to do with the churva. If we grant it to both of them, shneim asurim, and there's nothing to speak about. On the other hand, if we grant it to one of them, and then it'll be beneficial to them, then we say, why don't we grant it to them, because it doesn't hurt the other party. And that's what we do here. We say, grant it to the one who didn't make an eruv, because then they can carry freely from the chatzer to the churvan back and forth. On the other hand, from the other side where they did make an eruv, if you grant it to them, they have no benefit from it. They can't move from the chatzer into this churva. And this sounds exactly like Rav, which is when you have an eruv, you cannot carry from the chatzer into other areas. When you don't have an eruv, you're allowed to carry. And what is the reason for this? Is Dilma Ate Lafuke Mani Debatim the churva. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the fact that you're going to move the items that you take out of the house into the chatzer, because there's an eruv there, and then you're going to move them into the churva. Now, Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav. So since Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav, he's bringing this halacha down the way that Rav would view this halacha. B'chir b'Rav amar af l'shirva. On the other hand, Chir b'Rav says you can take it even into the one, or you can grant it even to the one who shirva, ushtem asurot. And because of that, they both become asurim, because they have equal rights to it, both the one that made an eruv and one didn't make an eruv. Why don't you just say that they're both mutarot? Why are you suggesting over here that they both should be asurot? Maybe they should both be mutarot. Why don't we give, when you have two adjacent chatzerot, one chatzer that didn't make an eruv and one chatzer that did make an eruv, why don't we grant the chatzer to the other one? The problem is, in the other case, where you have two chatzerot, one that made an eruv, one that did not make an eruv, they're Rav Paskin that you're not allowed to move back and forth between the chatzerot, because Rabbi Shimon's din doesn't apply when you make an eruv, because we're afraid you're going to take the manim, the utensils from the house to the chatzer, and then from that chatzer to another chatzer, which is not allowed. The only kelim that can move freely between the chatzerot are those that were there on the onset of Shabbat in the chatzer. So Chir Barav says that both parties are able to assert their rights around the churva, and shtehem asurot, and because of that, both of them are asurot. So he says, v'im tomar, what are you going to say, shtehem mutarot? You're going to say that both of them are, should be mutar to utilize the churva over here? He says, that doesn't make so much sense. Because if you said that, that would not reconcile with the position of Rav in other places. We don't grant the right in any chatzer to move from one to the other. If one of them has an eruv, one of them doesn't have an eruv, we don't allow you to move freely between the two different areas, because the eruv ruins the situation. And now the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe these two cases are not exactly the same, and it's possible for Rav to have different positions, have a position, the Gabay, a regular chatzer that has an eruv, in contrast to a chatzer that does not have an eruv, where we won't let you carry back and forth between them, versus this case by the churva, where you have one party with an eruv and one party without an eruv, that maybe over here we should say shtema mutarot, and that still would not undermine Rav's basic position, Agave Rabbi Shimon, that when there's an eruv, Rabbi Shimon's din does not apply. And that's because we can distinguish between the cases. In the case of the chatzer, a chatzer is a protected, secure area. It's in the protected square area. People feel free or uninhibited in taking their utensils out of the house into the chatzer. If that's the case, the chatzer has lots of utensils from the house in that chatzer. And now we're worried about the fact that if they're in the chatzer, you can also move them to the other chatzer. And that's why in that case, we don't allow you to move from chatzer to chatzer because of the mani debatim. On the other hand, when it comes to the churva, lo minterei, it's a place that's not secure. Since it's a place that's not secure, people will not take their kelim from the chatzer into the churva on a regular basis, or especially the kelim that are from the house, that are normally in a secure area, they're not going to move them into the churva. So we don't have to worry about that. Since we don't have to worry about that, we give equal rights, or we allow both chatzerot to assert their rights legabei this churva, because the chatzer that made an eruv can equally use it, just like the chatzer that didn't make an eruv. Because we don't expect to see the Manei Debatim going into the Churva, because that's an unlikely scenario. So despite the fact that Rav has this qualification, Rabbi Shimon, it only applies when you have a regular flow of the Kelim from the house into these areas. But in this case, where the Churva is not one of those areas you would normally take your house utensils into, we don't worry about this issue of Eruv and no Eruv. Ikad Amrei, there's some who have the Girs of Chir Barav like this. Amar Aflish Yirva, we grant the churva to both of them, ushtehen mutarot, and they're both mutarot. Meaning that shared area in the churva, you can move from both chatzerot into the churva without any problem. Bim tomar shtehem asurot, if you want to suggest they both should be asurin, lefi she'enot dim chatzer shelo yirva, the chatzer she'irva, because in a case where you have one chatzer that has an eruv and a chatzer that doesn't have an eruv, we don't allow you to move freely between them. How come over here do we allow you to move freely? Hatam came into minterei mani debatim bechatzer, because over there, since the chatzer is a secure and safe area, people are willing to take out the utensils from the house, and there'll be plenty of house utensils there that could get mixed up and moved from the chatzer to chatzer. So therefore, lo shari b'hu rabbonon, because Be'anan didn't allow it there, da'ata de'fuke, because then they'll come to move them from chatzer to chatzer. Aval b'churva, since in the churva lo minterei, it's not a safe and secure place, people aren't going to take the manei debatim. So only kelim that are going to end up in the churva are from the chatzerot. And moving from chatzer to chatzer is really not a problem, and that's why we don't worry about it, and that's why you can move freely between the two areas, and that's why we say shtehem mutarot. Right, next mishnah, gag gadol samuch gag katan. You have a large roof that's next to a smaller roof. Agadol mutar v'katan asur is again the case where you have a large roof, and next to it or adjacent to it is a smaller roof that only takes up a portion of one of the walls. Then the small roof is broken or totally open into the larger roof. So in that case, for the katan, it's a sur, because it has one of its four sides, parut bimluo. It's completely open into the gadol, and that makes it a sur. On the other hand, for the gadol, it has four sides. On the fourth side where it's attached to the katan, there's at least a portion of that wall that's closed, figuratively, either because it's independent of the katan and has walls on the outside, or because we say gudasik according to Shmuel, but there are what we call gifufei. There's a part of that wall that exists. And then there's that empty space that opens into the katan. We view that as a petach. As long as it's less than 10 amot wide, we'll view that as a petach. So from the gadol to the katan, we view it as a petach. And we say the gadol is fine. But from the katan to gadol, we have a problem because you can't say it's a petach because you have a complete breach of the wall on that side. You can't call it a petach. You need at least gifufei, something that turns in on that side that gives you sides to say that there's a door sitting between them. And that you don't have by the katan. And the same is true by the case of chatzer gadolah shenifritza l'ktana. That a case where you have a chatzer that is a big chatzer that broke into the ktana, the girsa of the Rosh is the opposite way around, which it should be the chatzer ktana nifritza l'gdola, which is, makes more sense here because the wall of the katan breached entirely into the gadol, whereas for the gadol it's only a portion of its wall. But the Rif keeps the girsa this way, so we'll read it this way. Gdola muteret, the ktana asura. The gdola is muteret and the ktana is asura for the same reasons we said before. Because it's the gabe, the gdola, it has walls on three sides, and on the fourth side it has walls from the corners inward, and then there's a gap in between them where it faces the katan. That is considered to be a doorway, and for the gdola, that's fine. A doorway can act as a mechitza, and has four mechitzot. On the other hand, for the ktana, which has three walls that are fine, but on the fourth side it's completely breached into the gdola, then you have a problem, because it doesn't have a wall on the fourth side, it doesn't have a mechitza, and it's parutz bimlo'o to a makom asurla, and that makes it asur. And that's why you have the ktana that is asura, because he kipitrash el gdola, that it acts like a doorway to the gdola. That's why the gdola is muteret, whereas the ktana is considered to be asura. So lamalei the mitnei tarte. Why do I need both of these? Why do I need chatzer and gag? The din is the same in both of them. Why do I need both examples in the Mishnah? The Rav tani gag dumia de chatzer. For Rav, we write it because he has a parallel. He draws some sort of halachic connection between gag and chatzer. Ma chatzer minkara mechitzta. Just like a chatzer, in order to have mechitzot around it, they have to be distinct, distinguishable, visible mechitzot. Avgag nami minkara mechitzta. So too, by a roof, it has to be defined, distinguishable, a visible mechitzot. And that's why Rav says, by a gag yechidi, by a standalone house, as long as the walls are on the outside are clear, then it's considered to be an area you can carry a bikula. On the other hand, gag ben a gagim, if you have a gag amongst other gagim, we don't say good asik from the walls down below in the batim, because they're not visible, they're not easily discernible, and therefore that gag you can only carry dalet amot because it's parus b'mlo to all the other gagim. Ushmal gag du mi dechatzer. Shmuel d'shitato says that we also have a parallel between gag and chatzer. Ma chatzer dekar dasi la rabim. Just like by a chatzer where people walk on a regular basis in there. Avgag nami dekar dasi la rabim. So too by a gag, the problem only exists when people traverse that area on a regular basis. That means that Shmuel believes, and we saw this din before, that gag ben a gagim. If you have a gag amongst other gagim, we say good asik. We say that the walls, the mechitzot of the batim, rise, and they separate the gagim, and you can carry around that gag without any problem. Shmuel makes a qualification of that din and says it's only true when people don't walk heavily between the two areas. But if people walk back and forth between the chatzer gdola and the ktana, then it's as if the mechitza doesn't exist. Because you can't have a mechitza that people just walk over, and if they're walking over it, we can't say good asik, because it doesn't reconcile with the reality. If you say it's good asik and there's a mechitza there and people are walking across it, that's not a mechitza anymore. Just like in a chatzer, people walk there all the time, so too on the roof. If people walk back and forth between the gedolah and ktana on a regular basis, then we don't say good asik, and that's why over here you have a problem for the ktana and not for the gedolah. Because for Shmuel it should be good asik, we should say that the ktana and the gedolah are fine. Why is that not the case in our Mishnah? Because Darsei Bei Rabim, it's a case where there's a lot of traffic up there, and since they walk back and forth between them, we don't say good asik from the wall down below, from the bayit. Yotiv Rabba v'Rabbi Zeira v'Rabba Barchanan v'Yotiv Abaye Gabayhu. So you have these three Amoraim that are sitting together. Abaye is singled out over here, which usually indicates that Abaye is going to be the linchpin in the sugya. He's going to say something that's a chiddush in the sugya. In addition to the fact that Abaye is a Talmid of Rabba, and he's younger than the other three that are sitting there. Let us conclude from our Mishnah that the residents, the inhabitants of the larger can go into the Ktana, meaning that they are as if they own it or as if they have access to it freely. But whereas when it comes to the smaller area, they don't have those types of rights or they don't have that free access into the Gdola. So the Gemara basically says, now, my nafkamina, what does that mean? Ketzad, how does that manifest itself? If you have vineyard that's planted in the larger space, then asur lizruat haktana, then you may not plant the smaller area with grains because that'll be a problem of kilei bikarim. Since the ktana is pulled into the gdola, there is a problem. On the other hand, vim zara zarin asurin, and if he does plant the zera there, then they are asurim, but gfanim mutarim, but the vineyard remains mutar. I mean, since the gfanim were planted beheter, there's no problem over there. The problem is putting the zera in the ktana, which is now an appendage or connected to the gdola, and almost annexes it, and because of that, it's a problem of kilei karim. On the other hand, biktana, if you have a karim in the smaller one, and you plant the larger one with zera, mutar lizruat gdola, it's fine to plant the larger area. Now Rashi discusses why this is. In the end, once the zera grows up, you still have a problem here, because you have zera on one side and gfanim on the other side. Why should it matter where you started with? So Rashi claims that the difference is that in the case where you plant the karam in the big one, and then the zera in the small one, so the big one gets the karam and it was planted fine. The zera that you planted tonight, when you planted it, it was asur. From the moment you planted it, it was problematic because there's already a problem of kilei karam. The big one annexes the small one. It's as if you're planting in the big one, and that's why it's problematic. On the other hand, when you plant the karam, the vineyard in the smaller one, and then you go plant the zera in the big one, there's no isur there. The smaller one has no influence over the larger one because it's the larger one that dictates. Now it's true later on when the zera grows, now you're going to have a problem because the zera now is big and it should be annexing or bekilei akarim with the akarim. So Rashi claims because it was planted beheter, we don't require you to remove it after the fact. There's no knas. Since according to Rashi, we're dealing with bekilei akarim that's only midirabanan. It's bishar zraim that are not considered to be kilei akarim midioraita. And therefore, if it's planted beheter, we're not kones you later on, demanding you take it out when it grows together to make it asur after the fact, because it was done beheter. That's the way Rashi reads this piece of the Gemara. Tosafot, on the other hand, has an innovative way of looking at this, and the Rish says that the Torah is only makbid on kerem. The Torah says, yet you can't plant in a kerem, in a vineyard, you can't plant zera. But it doesn't matter that it's a stay zera. So therefore, what Tosafot says is when you plant a kerem in the larger area, then the larger area takes on a shame kerem. It becomes a vineyard. And that name or shame vineyard kerem affects not only the gdolah but the ktana, because the ktana is subsidiary to it. And that's why you can't plant the zera over there. On the other hand, when you plant the kerem in the smaller one, then it gives a shame kerem to the smaller one, but has no impact on the larger one. Now you plant zera in the larger one, so what, that becomes a sadeh zera. So what Tosfot says is the Torah doesn't care about sadeh zera. It only cares about a kerem. So even if the larger one takes on a stay zera, and now you have a vineyard planted in your stay zera, that the Torah does not makpid on. And because of that, you can plant the zera in the large one, even though you have the kerem in the smaller one, because then you're only going to end up with the stay zera, that's the shame, and that doesn't impact. Another way, and it's the other way around, and you have the kerem in the big one, and the zera in the small one, then it takes on a shame kerem, and that's the issur of kilayim kerem, that you can't plant inside of a kerem, and that would be problematic to plant in the smaller one. Next case, where we have such a nafkamina, isha b'gdola v'get b'ktana. If a woman is in the larger of the chatzirot, and her get is thrown by her husband into the smaller one for her receipt. Mitkareshet, it works, and the gerushin go through. Isha b'ktana, if the woman's standing in the smaller one, v'get b'gdola, and the get is thrown into the large one, ain't a mitgareshet. In that case, she's not mitgareshet. Rashi claims that she owns both chatzirot over here, and this is a liba demand amar that you have to be present in your chatzir in order for it to be mishtameret and to count towards the acceptance of your get. So Rashi says, based on that opinion, when she's standing in the larger one, it's the equivalent of her standing in the larger one and the smaller one. That, therefore, if it's thrown into the smaller one, it's as if she received her get. But the other way around, when she's standing in the smaller one and the get's thrown into the bigger one, it's only as if she's standing in the smaller one. It's not as if she's standing in the larger one, and therefore it's not considered as if she accepted the get. That's the way Rashi reads this. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that he doesn't think that's the case here. He doesn't think that this is a case where the woman owns the chatzerot, but rather, someone is lending her the chatzerot in order to accept the get. So if someone lends her the larger chatzer, and then the get's thrown to a smaller chatzer, she gains that. It works, because the lending of the larger chatzer brings along with it the smaller chatzer, and that's why the get goes through. On the other hand, if someone lent her the smaller chatzer, that does not automatically draw along the larger chatzer. And then when the get's thrown into the larger chatzer, it's as if she did not receive it because she's in the smaller chatzer, and that's the only part that's getting to her to be hers now. The larger chatzer is not hers, and when the get's thrown in there, it's as if it didn't come into her possession, and that's why it doesn't work. So that's why Tosafot explains it. Next nafkamina. Tzibur b'gdola v'shleach tzibur b'ktana. If the tzibur is standing in the larger chatzer, and the shleach tzibur is in the smaller one, yotzi midei chuvatan. Then we say it works, and if the shleach tzibur is doing something, he is motzi the rabim, because the large one draws in the smaller one. So the large one, if the minion's there, they pull the shleach tzibur to them, and it works. On the other hand, tzibur b'ktana, if the minion's in the smaller one, with shleach tzibur b'gdola, and the shleach tzibur is in the bigger one, ein yotzi midei chuvatan. It doesn't work, because we don't say pull the rabim towards the yachid. So you can't have the yachid draw the rabim towards them, and they're considered to be in separate areas, and therefore it does not work over here. Now the next halacha, which has major nafkamino to halacha, which is tisha b'gdola. You have 9 in the larger one, yachid b'ktana, and 1 in the smaller one, mitztarfim. Then they are mitztaref to make up a minion. 9 in the bigger one, 1 in the smaller one, they're mitztaref to make a minion. Tisha b'ktana, if you have 9 in the smaller area, yachid b'gdola, and 1 in the bigger area, ein mitztarfim. They are not mitztaref to make it into a minion, because you can't draw the majority after the minority. As Tosafot points out here, it's lav dafka 9 and 1, but it works basically as long as the majority is in the gdola. As long as the majority is in the gdola, they can pull the others to them, but if it's 5 and 5, it would not work for the gdola to pull the ktana in. So as long as the majority is in the gdola, they can pull in the ktana. Now Tosafot discusses this halacha, we'll come back in 1 second after we finish the Gemara to discuss that, and the nafkamino that apply today from that. The next halacha is, so abigdola, if there is excrement in the large one, asur likrot kriyat shema biktana, then you can't read kriyat shema in the ktana, because it's as if you're within the presence of the tzoa, because the ktana, again, is subsidiary to the larger one, it's as if you're in the room, and there's no mechitza between you. So abigdana, on the other hand, if the excrement's in the smaller one, mutar likrot kriyat shema bigdola, then you can read kriyat shema in the larger one, because the tzoa is as if it's in a separate area now, and the gdola, you have a mechitza or a petach between you, and then it's fine to read it over there. So now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, we're going to conclude from this, im gein metzinu mechitza l'isur. We find here the case that a mechitza actually makes the situation worse. Because, shimale, if you go back to the case by the vineyard, ein mechitza. Had there been no wall here, and the wall by what he means here is the gufufe, by the Gdola that has those side pieces that come in, that allows this large one then to annex the smaller one, then Marchik Dalat Amot V'Zoreya. Then all you would have to do is put a space of 4 Amot, which is called Avodat HaKerem, between the Kerem and the Zera, and you could plant. So in that situation, if you're in an open field, and you have a Kerem, you have a vineyard, you just move out 4 Amot, and then you can start planting without any problem. But now that you have these gifufe, you have these side walls from the gdola that make it, that the gdola has a petach and now annexes the ktana, then you can't even plant anywhere in the ktana. So those walls actually cause the situation to degrade or deteriorate because the walls now make it you can't plant the whole area of the ktana, whereas had it not been any walls there, no gifufe there. Or, for instance, as Rashi says, they were shavot. Had the ktana and the gdola been equal with their walls, there were none of these turns of the gdola, then they would have been equal, and an equal partners, all you have to do is move over 4 Amot and continue to plant without any problem. So you see here, Abayi says that a mechitza is making the situation worse. And that's something we don't find in the Torah, that the mechitza is making the situation more difficult or more chamor than it would be without the mechitza. And tomorrow, we'll continue with the sugya. All those people that were sitting with Abayi are going to challenge Abayi's statement and say that we do have other instances like that, and Abayi will try to answer those questions. Now back to this issue about the minyan being in the two chatzirot. Tosafot points out that we have a machlok between Rav and Rabbi Shua ben Levi in another place in Shas as to whether someone can be included in the minyan or not. Over there, their machloket is whether it's the doorway that sets up the separation, that's Rav's opinion, or is it that anywhere you are, ein mechitzot, when it comes to Shechina Shora. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So Tosafot says, if we take their opinions like that, that makes it sound like this Gemara is a libid Rav, and not like Rabbi Shulman Levi, and that's difficult, because we pass an aloha to Rabbi Shulman Levi, and that's what it sounds like from the Gemara in Sota. So Tosafot then says, you know what, Rabbi Shulman Levi agrees to Rav over here. And we're talking about two different dinim, and this is where the halacha works, which is that if you want to be mitzarev people to make a minion, then they all have to be present in the room, and that is the shito of Rav, and even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi agrees to that. In this case of the Chatzer Gdola Ketana is exactly that case. We're trying to make a minion. You want to make 10 people into a minion, they all have to be in the same room. If they're in two separate rooms, they cannot be mitzareif. If there's a doorway between them, they cannot be mitzareif. It's as if they're in separate areas. We'll read the loch in 1 second with regards to that. The only exception here is if you have a Gdola and a Ketana, where the Ketana is putza to the Gdola, then we if it's annexed, and it's as if those people are included in the minion, as long as the rove is in the Gdola. Now, for another din, which is what Tosafot points out, for Aniyat, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, being Yotze, once there already exists a minion inside the Beit Knesset, then even if you're passing by outside the Beit Knesset, according to Rabbi Shuman Levi, you can answer and you can be Yotze. If you hear shofar outside, you're Yotze. The Chazan has in mind to be Motze, anybody hears the shofar. Even if you're outside the shul, you're Yotze. Rav says, no, the doorway is the cutoff for that. In that area, we pass on Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that anything, once the minion's in place, if you're outside and you can hear, and you can be a participant, that's as if you are in the shul, and we consider it that you're Yotze, or you can answer for Dvarim Shebi Kedusha. So that distinction Tosua draws over here, and then it's brought down the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that Tzarich Shiei Kol Asara B'Makom Echad. All 10 people have to be in one place, so Shliach Tzibur Imahem, and the Shliach Tzibur along with them. But made betocha petach, and if you stand in the doorway, it depends where you are in the doorway. If you're from the slam or the jam inward, then you're counted. If you're outside, it does not count. Then he mentions that someone who's outside the shul does not count, with one exception. He brings an exception that they can see each other. If you're able to see the individual, he might be able to meet staref. That's a machloket achronim, whether we apply this din, which comes from zimun, to minyan as well. He brings it down, alocha, and then, as the Mishnah Berurah says, we hesitate, and we say that the achronim are machmir, and therefore we do not try to use this as the way to meet staref a minyan, unless it's impossible to do it otherwise. But what comes out from this is that, in order to have a minyan, you have to be in the same room, and meet staref. The question that comes up is interesting, is for instance, in the Ezrat Nashim. If you have people that are standing in the Ezrat Nashim, what is the status of those individuals in the Ezrat Nashim? So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, in Siman Nun Hei, Sif Katan Nun Bet, that, Vim Kein Lefi Ze Pashut Omdim Be'Ezrat Nashim, Uma Mechitza Mefseket, the people are standing in the Ezrat Nashim and there's a Mechitza between them, like there would be in Ezrat Nashim. Im Yesh Chalon, if there's a window where they can see each other, Ma'im Panam, Misham, Mitztaref Imeh, if you can see each other, then you're Mitztaref Lasara. The kol shekein im yesh bilado asara. Now certainly if there are 10 people down below and there's a minion, nechshav tefila b'tzibur al yedei zeh, then it's for sure tefila b'tzibur, v'af al b'kein. And he says, despite that, yoter tov im nekel hu l'yared the Beit Knesset, that if he can go down to the shul, he should go down to the shul, Because the Achronim don't agree about this ability to see each other. And this is distinct from the case of Zimun, and seeing each other is not enough. What it seems from the Mishnah Berurah is that no matter what, you're considered to be Tefillah B'Tzibur when you daven in the Ezrat HaNashim. It seems from the Mishnah Berurah that the only reason you'd have to go down is because of this issue of being Mitztaref for the Minyan. But once the Minyan is in place, you can definitely answer, there's no question, to Kedusha, Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. But it also seems from the Mishnah Berurah that you can be considered to be Mitpalel B'Tzibur. That's what it seems like. You could read it otherwise, but that seems to be the Pashtut of Mishnah Berurah. On the other hand, the Orach HaShulchan says, unequivocally, that someone who is found in the Ezrat HaNashim, Miu, Zeh Vadai Omdim Ezrat HaNashim, Lo Yitztarfu Im Omdim Bebe Knesset, Av Sheish Chalanot Mezrat HaNashim Bebe Knesset, even if there are windows there and it's visible, for Im Elu Pneim Shel Elu Kevin Shemechitzot Gemurot Hain, since they're full-fledged Mechitzot, seeing each other doesn't help. Having Shtei Rishiot, Velo Domi Lo Omeid Achoreya Bebe Knesset, it's not similar to someone standing outside and can see them, that he's Mitztarei Periyat Panim, because he's not in a separate location or a separate Rishut. But when you're in the Ezrat HaNashim, you're in a completely separate Rishut, and therefore visibility does not help you over there. And you are not Mitztaref to the Minyan when you're up there. So where the Mishnah Berurah is Mitlabet about this, whether you're a Mitztaref or not when you can see down, the Orach HaShulchan is unequivocal and says that you're not Mitztaref to the Minyan. Now, from the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like you can answer to the Tzibur, plus it's considered to be Mitpalel B'Tzibur when you're up there. That seems to be the tone of the Mishnah Berurah. From the Orach HaShulchan, it's not clear. Some want to suggest from the Orach HaShulchan that he also believes that you're not considered to be Mitpalel B'Tzibur when you're in the Ezrat HaNashim, because it's considered to be a completely separate Rishut. And this would have to have a nafkamina for women who want to say Kaddish, whether they have a minion or not. According to the Mishnah Berurah, they're considered to be Mitpalel B'Tzibur, they're amongst the minion. If there's a minion in the shul, then they can say Kaddish as if they're a part of that minion. Whereas for the Orach HaShulchan, they're in a separate area that doesn't have that classification of being part of the minion, then you wouldn't be able to say Kaddish. I don't think that is necessarily what the Orach HaShulchan says, because the Orach HaShulchan further on makes a statement, and he says, V'kvar nidbar, d'chol zehu l'inyan tziru. Everything that I said, now over there he's speaking about the Chatzer Ketana and the Chatzer Gdola, about being parutz one to the other. And over there he says, this all din only applies for tziruf, for making up the minyan. Once there's a minyan in one place, they can answer to all the dvarim shebekdusha. They daven along with them, it's as if they're davening with the tzibur. And it would seem to be that the Orach HaShulchan is saying the same thing that the Mishnah Berurah says. You could claim or differentiate and say that he only says this when it's not a completely separate reshut, like the Ezrat HaNashim. And you could differentiate, but that does not seem to be the tone of the Orach HaShulchan, and from the Orach HaShulchan it also seems to be that those that are in the Ezrat HaNashim are considered to be Mitalel Ima Tzibur. So obviously from this, number one is if you have a minion, then people should all be in the room together. They should not be in the Ezrat HaNashim because they can't be counted towards the minion, you need them in the room together. And then it's also better, it seems to be, even if you're going to daven with the Tzibur, it's better to come down from the Ezrat HaNashim or not be in the Ezrat HaNashim in a separate area when you're daving to join the Tzibur. Even though both the Mishnah Berurah and Orach HaShulchan seem to say that it's still considered to be Mitpalel B'Tzibur, obviously it's still better to be there in the room with the Minyan itself. Okay, we'll stop over here.